Today is from 1 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 12, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think I've shared this recently, but I worked at a summer camp every year after college, and this was like the bread and butter scripture reading for like Tuesday or Wednesday evening worship, because it was one of the easiest scripture readings to do a skit for, right? And to have whatever cabin of kids that you had act out the different parts. You know, you could have somebody be an eye and somebody be a hand and somebody be a foot and somebody be a head. And it was very easy to visualize this and to get kids involved in acting it out. It's still powerful today, whether it's, you know, kids acting out a skit or what we're talking about today. It's important and it's good, and it's a reminder that we don't do it all, right? And in fact, if it were up to me, there would be no church, because I would fail pretty quickly. And if it were up to any one of us or any smaller group of us, the church would fail, because God doesn't build bodies that way. God builds bodies with different parts and different roles, and the body succeeds, and it only really thrives when everyone does their part and works together. We're going to be diving into that today. The title of the sermon is "The Staff Doesn't Do the Work." And real quick, because I love my staff and I am part of the staff, we'll get a little more specific. You know, that's the grabby headline, right? The clickbait. Say the staff doesn't do the work. Of course, the staff does a lot of work. The staff doesn't do all the work, right? The staff prays. The staff identifies gifts in others. The staff prays. The staff equips people to use their God-given gifts. The staff prays. The staff trains the church. The staff, you got it, okay. The staff encourages the rest of the church. Guess what the next one's going to be? The staff prays. You guys are getting smart. The staff organizes the church. The staff prays. And the staff sometimes leads the church. One more. The staff prays. Man, you guys are sharp. And when I say the staff, I'm talking about our hired staff. You've got Paul, our wonderful all things audio visual worship technician. You've got Nicole, our wonderful youth and young adult minister. You've got Karina, our children's minister. You have Marty, our wonderful office administrator, for whom, big plug, once again, in 3 weeks, we're having a big, beautiful going away party for her, recognizing her at the end of the service, and then we'll have a reception right here afterwards. Please be thinking about how you could bless Marty and help say farewell as she retires and moves to Anchorage. And we have Peggy in the nursery, and you have me. That's your staff. Now, when I say staff, I'm going to say this also includes our session. This includes our session, our ruling elders. They are the ones who steer the ship. They are the ones who meet every month, who discern the might of Christ prayerfully, and who set the budget, and who oversee all of our committees, including the hired staff, the paid staff. So when we talk about the staff doesn't do the work, they do a lot of work. We meet throughout the week. We pray. We prepare for Sunday worship. We prepare for youth programs, young adult programs, kids programs, family programs. We make sure that everything is in good and working order when it comes to the building, when it comes to the regularly scheduled activities. The staff prays a lot. The staff, in their prayers, we ask for God to help us to identify who is going to help us lead, who is going to take the lead in a particular aspect of the church and her ministry. The staff prays. And then we consider how are we going to equip these people in the church to use the gifts that God has given them that we have identified. The staff prays. And then we do what we can, not only to equip, but to train, to make people feel comfortable as they serve, that they know the ropes, they know what to do and how to do it. The staff prays, again, for them, for the church. And then we encourage those people in the church that have been identified as holding gifts that are useful and good for this particular aspect of the church's ministry, that have been equipped and trained, and now we encourage them as they do the work. And the staff prays and organizes the church. Next Saturday, this Saturday, I guess I should say, 6 days away, the session and the ministry staff are going to be meeting for a vision retreat. And I would ask for your prayers for that. We're going to be meeting all Saturday morning and into the afternoon. And the point of this retreat is not only to pray and to get to know each other better, but to take a look at our current vision and mission statement and how we are organized around that and how best we can make sure that we are doing the best with what God has given us when it comes to pursuing that vision and enacting our mission. And then we pray, and sometimes we lead. Sometimes we lead. I say sometimes because, of course, it's not just me who leads up here. It's not just Nicole who leads the youth and the young adult programs. And it's not just Karina who leads the children's programs. There are many, many others, elders, members, and just people of faith who have stepped up and used their gifts in any given moment to lead. It's a good thing you don't have me leading the music, for example. People might walk out clutching at their bleeding ears. God has given us a multitude of gifts. God has given us a blessing of families and individuals who carry in them everything that this church needs. We talked last week about the pastor and the role kind of traditionally, especially in non-Jewish and non-Christian circles in the ancient world and even in the world today, of kind of this need for a priest, someone who has that special direct connection to the Lord. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I would remind you, it's not me. My connection to God is no more special or holy than your connection to God. It's much like our understanding of the sacraments. This water is not magic, it's not special, it's not holy, but it is ordinary and being used for a holy purpose. It is the very means by which Alice was declared a child of the covenant, a child of the promises of God. We are not inherently anything but ordinary. But when God uses us, we become extraordinary. And God has gifts and needs for us in the church that are indeed extraordinary. All of us, including and really especially our youngest people, our newest believers, have vital and important roles to play in the church. One thing we talked about at that next gen part of the presbytery was something that was made clear to me when I was still in high school, praise God, and something that I have tried to make a fundamental part of my ministry ever since, and something that I say to the whole congregation as well as to the young people. What was said to me when I was 13, 14 years old wasn't that I was the future of the church. I was told, David, you are the church. You're not the future of the church, you are the church. And that is true for our young people today. You're not the future of the church, you are the church. You have gifts and opportunities to lead today. Not next year, not after you graduate, today. If you're a new believer, you have opportunities and the church has needs for you to fill today. Not when you've got some other part of your faith figured out, not after you've read the Gospels a few more times, but right now. Something that's commonly expressed, and I've done my best. You guys, I've been going to CrossFit for a year and a half now, and I've done my best not to talk about it up here. It's the old joke, you know, it's like, if you're at a party, how do you know if there's a vegan there? It's like, you don't need to worry about it, they'll tell you. It's kind of the same thing with CrossFitters. But one of the things that I love about CrossFit is that it really is you go when you decide to go. In other words, there's not like a threshold of physical fitness that you need before you can get there. That was something that Brenna, she and I have a friend who said, I'd love to go, but I'm just not there yet. I want to get a little better shape before I start showing up to CrossFit gym. And we're like, no, this is not how it works, right? There are women who gave birth 3 weeks ago that are there, and they have a scaled exercise that looks a lot like my exercise. I'm not a strong man. The point is, we're ready for you now, right? God is ready for you now. It's just like CrossFit. There's not a minimum threshold of faith or experience or understanding that's required before you get involved in the life of the church. God is ready for you now. And God has a call for you now to be a part of the body, to play an important role. You belong. Not only do you belong, we need you. The church would be weaker without you. So that's a common thing that's shared a lot when we talk to people about volunteering, when we talk to people about maybe stepping up and being a deacon or an elder. We hear, I'm not ready. There's a reason I put pray on like 20 different slides earlier. It's a big reason. Dave and I were at Presbytery, and we were hearing these stories of congregations that that sowed into church planting, that were on shoestring budgets in those early days and months of church planting, of pastors that basically sacrificed, and churches that sacrificed giant chunks of their budget or their income to see what God would do with the church plant? And then this one pastor said, you like, he basically cut himself out of the budget once and told the session to take that $110,000 that was set aside for church planting and actually put it into this congregation. And that $110,000 included his budget as a church planter. So many stories like that. But then they prayed. They prayed, and these sacrifices that were made in faith were rewarded. And what had been a $50,000 or $150,000 budget shortfall or expense that they've dedicated to a church plant was met with a $300,000 donation drive or a giving match or what have you. We have to pray. We have to pray constantly and regularly and at all the other times that we feel now might be a good time to pray. We pray not because that's, you know, the traditional method or it's the proper approach. It's all those things. But we pray because we're not ready, right? We pray because we don't have it all figured out. No one has perfect faith. No one is ready, CrossFit metaphor, to just step up and just get 500 pounds over their head. We pray because we don't always know exactly what's going to happen next. But we do know that God will be with us. And so we ask God to be with us, and we ask God to give us the strength to take the next step. We ask God to shine the light and show us the very next step we need to take. And we ask God to raise up the resources and the people that will be required to make that next step. God loves the unready. God loves the unready because the unready are usually the ones that are willing to confess and accept that they are not perfect, that they do not have it all figured out, and God loves to use the unready and make them ready. It doesn't matter how fit you feel. It doesn't matter how much love of God you are holding in your heart right at this very moment. What matters is that you have heard God's call and are saying yes. And God's call might be that shining, inspirational moment of prayer where you're like, yes, this is absolutely what God wants me to do. Or it might be me or Karina or Nicole or one of our elders saying, hey, could you serve on this committee? That's God's call. That is God's call for you. One major aspect of our ministry at this church is the well. Every Wednesday evening, we serve a home-cooked, hot, delicious supper to anyone from 60 to 100-plus folks. And those people are coming from all walks of life, from all around Fairbanks. Some of them are struggling with homelessness or addiction. Some of them just live down the street. Some of them are our own members. Some of them are other Christians from other churches. It's a wonderful, wonderful mix of people. It's something that we've been doing since long before I got here. It's something that we've had incredible blessing and abundance in. It's something that we continue to pray about. But it is something that we are currently lacking in First Presbyterian Church volunteers. We have a good, solid core of volunteers who do the absolutely necessary work from week to week and on Wednesday, especially when it comes to the earliest meal prep. But if you talk to Paul or Terry Reichart, they can show you the sign-up sheet where we are weeks at a time without anyone from First Pres beyond that solid handful of people that have really carved out space in their lives to make this happen. And I'm bringing this up during the sermon because the conversation I had with Paul on Monday before I went to the pastor's retreat was, I don't know if we can keep doing the well if this level of participation continues. We need y'all to volunteer. The well needs you to volunteer, and God is calling you to volunteer. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to do more than one thing. If all you do is bake some brownies, that's awesome. If all you do is hold that serving spoon and serve people and welcome them in with the love of Jesus for 45 minutes, one Wednesday before Christmas, that would be more than enough. But right now, we are seriously lacking the ability to continue the well and have it be a thriving aspect of our ministry. And I'm not saying this, like Ms. Karina said, there's no guilt, there's no shame. We're just talking about a real need in an aspect of our church that has been a massive blessing to thousands of people for at least 20 years. So pray about it. Don't do the CrossFit excuse. Don't say, well, I've never done anything like that. I'm not ready. God loves the unready. God loves you and is calling you. It's time to jump in. It's time to jump in. In much a similar way, when Dave Moody, who's the pastor at our host church at Presbytery, we had communion on Friday evening. And Dave said, you know, a lot has been made over the years about communion and how, you know, oh, what if I don't quite have the right faith? What if I'm just really struggling in my life, or maybe I'm angry with my sister or my spouse? What if I just don't know? Well, Pastor Dave said, bring your doubts and your don't knows, or even your anger with a loved one, to the cross. Bring that to the table. Take an extra piece of bread. Jesus loves the unready. Jesus loves us even in the midst of our doubts and our struggles. If you have a shred of faith, if you believe that Jesus is the host of this table, then you are invited to come. God loves the unready. God is the one who makes us ready when we go to Him in prayer, when we ask that He would show up in our lives, when we ask that this church would continue to be one body with many members. So with all of that in mind, I ask that you would please pray the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. Forgive our debtors, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I messed up my saying of the Lord's Prayer.